Okay, let's begin. We're off to Chavakuk Perek Beis. Chavakuk. Good morning, everyone. Chavakuk Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph Beis Gimel. We did so far the Mitzudos and Rashi. Rashi explained Mitzudos. Rashi also quoted the Targum. Three different mahalchim in this pasuk. Three very different mahalchim in this pasuk. Are we yearning? Is Chavakuk yearning for the coming of Mashiach? Is Chavakuk yearning for the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar? And in relation to these two things, Hashem is speaking, and Hashem is telling him either what he should write, kisoiv, what he should write, or Hashem is telling him, according to Targum, it already has been written. It's written in the Toichacha, in Parshas Bichukosai, Oz Tirtzeh Oretz Eshab Soiseha, the earth will rest for the Shabbosois that were violated, the Shemitah years that were not observed in Eretz Yisrael. From the time Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael through the Churban, the Beis HaMikdash, there was a grand total, according to Rashi, of 69 years that had the sanctity of Shemitah, which includes Shemitah and Yovel, during this period of time that were not observed. And therefore, the Jewish people have to go into exile for 69 years. We round up the number to 70. Rashi made for us this yesterday this very beautiful calculation, where there were exactly 436 years where the Jewish people did not observe Shemitah. And from the 400 years, there were 64 years, including the Shemitahs, the 56 years of Shemitah plus the eight Yovelos, and then we have another 5 years in the 36 years, the remainder of the 36 years, for a grand total of 69 years that have the sanctity of Shemitah, where there was a violation of Kedusha. And that's why they had to go into Golos for 69 years. Okay, there is some. Okay, I'm going to put you, there's someone over here on, I'm muting you all. Okay, if anyone is getting an echo on their device, it's likely because you have open more than one session, which means you may be open to the website, the homepage of morningkolel.com. On the homepage, it's also broadcasting this shiur, or you may have Zoom opened on more than one device. And if that's the case, that's why you're having an echo. So just make sure that you only have one session open. And if you're having trouble, it might just be worthy to reboot your computer or reboot your device. Okay, now let's see the Radak. Radak, Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Radak starting with Al Mishmarti Emoida. Okay, so we'll make sure we finish all the Rashi. Okay, Al Mishmarti Emoida. Radak, okay, you don't have the art skull, okay, but we have the Radak says Al Mishmarti Emoida. Okay, Omar Hanavi Al Zois Hamavucha Shaniba Ani Shomer Umitzapeh. On this Mavucha is a great word. Mavucha is also a modern Hebrew word. It means this what's a good translation for the word Mavucha? Mavucha, this pitfall, this horrible blotter. I think in Yiddish, is a good word in Yiddish, a blotter, right? Callous, is that a good word? A blotter? A mavucha. Mavucha means you're in a very, very unpleasant situation. A very unpleasant.
Where exactly are you now?
The Radak. In the Radak. Pasuk Aleph. Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Chavakuk, Perek Beis. Perek Beis, we did the Rashi, now we're going to the Radak. The Navi is describing the Mavucha Shaniba, the horrible situation in which he finds himself. Ani shoymer umitzapeh ma yaneni hakel yisprach b'hatzlochas ze horosha. I am yearning, I am anticipating to hear from Hashem what he has to say concerning the future of the success of this man. It's like people today, they wait, they anticipate for a briefing from the president or from the governor or the mayor. Okay, they announce every day there's going to be a briefing, there's new information. And likewise, Chavakuk is waiting for a briefing from who? From the Ribbono Shel Olam. What he has to say new about the success of this evil man, what lays ahead for us in Klal Yisrael. Ma yedaber bi beruach hanavua kama ruach Hashem diber bi ma sh'omar mo oshiv v'etzolaymar mo oshiv l'ashoyalim oisi. So he learns the pasuk a bit different than what we learned until now. Mo oshiv does not mean like we learned until now what I will respond, but what I will to Hashem, what I will respond to Hashem. But the Radak says, Mo oshiv la shoyalim oisi ki lo ani levadi novoich al zehu inyan. I'm not the only one that's confused. I am not the only person that is in a very desperate situation. The entire Klal Yisrael is in a desperate situation. And people are coming to ask me for guidance. They're coming to ask me for information because I have connections. I am a Navi. So I need to hear from Hashem an update in order to know what to respond. Uma
she'omar. The problem, though, is why isn't it Uma Yashiv? I mean, Ma Ashiv al Tov Chavti. What will I
answer
to my...
Correct. Correct. What will I answer to those people who come to me and ask me for guidance? So I am waiting for Hashem to give me an update, to give me new information that I can use to reply to those people who are asking me for help and assistance. Ashiv means what I will, according to the Radak, I'm yearning for Hashem to brief me, to update me, so that I will have information to relate, to respond to people who come to me and ask me for help, for information. Umasha Omar, this that it says in the Pasuk, the Esyatzva al Motzar, I stand by a Motzar, Retzolaymar, Motzar Kodem Shetzorim, Allah Ve'en Lo Imonois. Just like when a city is besieged, there is no escape. Kain ani ein li manois mizois hamavucha madua derech v'sham tzelecha. I have no escape from this horrible situation as to an answer as to why wicked people are always successful. V'tir gam yonison asid mishamesh al mitzutzi mi-mi-sakeina. Mishamesh. I'm mishamish means I am serving. Al mitzutzi misakena, my dangerous trap. Okay, I am hitre vesyatzva al motzar. I stand in my state of danger. It would appear that the Targum is learning the word the motzar as a victim. Okay, let's read the one. Let's just finish off the words over here, and then we'll come back and explain what I mean. Rabbi Seinu Perishu Masha Amar Al Motzar Sh'og Ugo V'Amar B'Seicha V'Amar. He now quotes Rashi. The Motzar is, he drew a circle. V'Amar Eini Zaz Mikan Ad Shetoyma Li Mibnei Mohe Erachta L'Roshoim. Why are you so patient to the wicked? Okay, so let's clarify. First of all, the word Motzar is a self-imposed siege. According to the Rabbi Seinu, which Rashi quoted, that's the source of this Chazal that Chavakuk, he drew a circle and he stood in the center and he said to Hashem, I will not come out of this circle until you explain to me why the wicked people are successful. Motzar is a siege, and in this context, it means a self-imposed siege. He drew a circle around himself. According to the Targum, Asid Mishamesh al Mitsutsi Misakena. The word Asid means Anokoem Asid. Asid means prepared. Mishamesh al Mitsutsi on my in my trap. My my fortress, really mitzutzi, my fortress, umisakeno, and I am in danger. Lemechaze umisakeno. No, that means I'm looking. Mishamesh al mitzudosi asid. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, so let's leave it for now. Okay, let's pass this over for the moment. Let's just go further. We have your basic interpretation that Chavakuk over here is watching, he's observing that Nebuchadnezzar is getting stronger and stronger, and he is the Klal Yisrael, and he himself is in very great danger, and he is yearning for Hashem to update him regarding the situation. Pasik Beis. Now a very long Radak. I hope you have the Radak. I hope all of you have an edition that has the Radak, because it's a very long Radak. Vayaneni, and Hashem answered me, Kisoiv Chazoin Uvoer al Haluchos. Hine, O no loya kel yisparach ki shalvas zeharosha shahoya tomea olav lo ta'amoid. Radak is giving us a lot of bayer that it does not say in Rashi or any of the Mefarshim. Hashem is coming to tell him that do not be fooled, although it appears that the wicked are successful, their success does not endure. This that you are in a state of bewilderment, that he is successful, it's incorrect. Loi tamoid, it will not remain. V'gam sichlusoi shahoya miskoya alokel yisparach, gam kein loi tamoid. This foolishness that Nebuchadnezzar has prided himself in being more powerful than Hashem, it will not continue. Ve'omar loy zeberemes. Hashem hinted to him this response. Ve'omar loy ki ze yiyeh achar zman. The fall of the Rasha will not happen now. It takes time. Ve'zeh re'inu kosev sefer Daniel. Ki osa loy akel yisparach devarim lahachish daitoy hachasera HaKadosh Baruch Hu denied him. Shohoye noisen koichoy la'atzmai o le'elohoy. Nebuchadnezzar ascribed his power, attributed his power either to his own self or his God. Techila hachaloim sheheroloi v'loy motzoloi poiser. Remember we learned Sefer Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. In the dream he saw a statue. He had a few dreams, in fact. We saw different animals. And the first humbling experience was the fact that he did not know the interpretation of the dream. Lo al yidei chachamav, lo al yidei koimarav, not through his wise men, not through his magicians, oivdei ho'elil, who worship idols, ela al yidei Daniel. Shegile lo hakel yisparach hachalom hasasim ahu, Daniel revealed to him, Hashem revealed to Daniel the interpretation of Daniel, omar lo hachalom, rapistroin b'shem hakel yisparach. Okay, this is a very beautiful concept. And this opens up for us an incredible idea regarding Paro Melech Mitzrayim. The ultimate humility is where a person comes to acknowledge that they do not know, that they lack knowledge. Tachlis Hayidia Leda Sheloy Neda. The Rambam of Nevuchim writes that the tachlis, the goal of knowledge, is to know that we do not know. This is the most humbling experience in this world. To lose a war is not necessarily a humbling experience. If you lose a war, it's because you don't have the weapons, you don't have the ammunition, you don't have the resources you need to overcome your enemy. But you understand why you lost. There is knowledge. When a person comes to realize that he does not know something, there is information that is beyond his grasp. This is the ultimate form, expression of humility. I don't know. I know Rashi throughout Shas often writes, I do not know the pshat. We have a difficulty. We have an extra word. We have an expression. I do not know. We've been humbled recently, this last month, with the term, we do not know. If you have an intelligent question, it is a guarantee that there is no answer. If a person has been infected with corona and he has been healed, does that mean he's immune? That's a very intelligent question. And all of the doctors will answer, we do not know. How many feet must you distance yourself from your fellow man? 4 feet, 6 feet, 8 feet, 20 feet, 100 feet? We really do not know. No one knows. That is an extremely humbling experience. So Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man in the world. He had a dream. And in the dream, he woke up and he desired to understand the deeper meaning of the dream. And he did not know. He did not know what it means. He asked his wise men, he asked his priests, and no one had an answer. At the end of the day, Nebuchadnezzar was humbled because he did not know something. He lacked knowledge. And the only one that was able to provide the knowledge for him was Daniel, Ish Hamudos, in the name of Hashem, which forced Daniel to acknowledge, forced Nebuchadnezzar to acknowledge that this principle of Koichi v'oitzem yodi osli esachayel hazeh is utterly false. Now take what the Radak says over here in Chavakuk, his novel understanding of the ultimate mode to humiliate a human being is to show them that they are ignorant and inject this principle in the very beginning of the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. How does the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim begin? Yosef is sent down to Egypt. He's put in prison. There, the Sar Hamashkim and the Sar Oivim have a dream. He interprets the dream. 2 years later, Paro was the most arrogant man in this world. Paro said, "Li yoiri vani asisif." We read the Haftarah. Paro declared himself to be a god. He is the god. I made the or. Li asisiv. He claimed to be God, to know it all, complete shlita over everything. And what happened? Now the question is it the same Paro? Vayomos melech Mitzrayim, vayoka melech chodosh asher lo yoda es Yosef. Okay, so we have to know, is it the same Paro? Okay, a whole, that's part of the topic of discussion. Nasa atzma ki ilu lo yoda. That's part of the discussion. But let's for the moment follow the basic principle that let's assume it's the same Paro. It's just that Nischadish Gezeroysov, or even if it's not the same physical man, it's the same dynasty, it's the same Hashkofa. A line of pharaohs that are arrogant, who believe everything is within their power. When Moshe comes to Paro, what does Paro say? Mi Hashem Asher Eshma. El Devorav. Lo Yodati Es Hashem. Paro in the very beginning says, I don't know who this God is. I looked him up in the book, in the telephone book. He's not on WhatsApp. He doesn't have any social media presence. He doesn't even have a Facebook page. Who is this God you're talking about? How could it be? He doesn't have a Twitter page. Even Trump has a Twitter feed. And this God you're talking about is not on Twitter? Are you talking such a thing? Yet, in the very beginning of the story, Paro has a dream. And Paro does not know the interpretation of the dream. And he summons his ministers, his chachomim, his astrologers, his koimrim, his priests, and they all do not satisfy his intellect. The only one that is able to provide knowledge, to provide an understanding of what it really means, is a Jew who says, Biladai, Elohim Ya'aneh Es Shiloim Paro. So look at the story. After, in the very, very beginning of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Paro was humbled to the lowest level. He was the ultimate humbling of man, where man comes to acknowledge he lacks intelligence. What makes man special is his intelligence. That's what makes man above animals, his intelligence. And when a human being has to make a statement, I do not know, tachlis hadiya shneida shloi neida, that is the ultimate form of humility. And that's what the Radak says. The Radak says, here we have this arrogant man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, who made himself into a god. And Daniel and Chavakuk is pained as to how Hashem allows this to exist, to occur. And Hashem says to Daniel, to Chavakuk, according to the Radak, don't worry, Chavakuk. The day will come when this arrogant man will be severely humbled. And when will that day come? When he has a dream. I have a dream. And he does not know the interpretation of the dream. And he needs to come on to a Jew, Daniel, to say, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he will tell you what the dream means, because he's the one that sent you the message. This, in the eyes of the Radak, is the ultimate expression of humility. Now, this exact same scenario appears in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, relating to another man who also is on record as being from the most arrogant people in the world. Paro says, Ani li ye'oiriv, ani asisiv, I made the Yor that he rivals with Nebuchadnezzar. And he suffered, if we assume he was the same person, so he has to be an old man by then, which some indeed say he is the same person, or at least it's part of the same family, following the same legacy, the same hashkafa. In the very beginning of the story, he was severely humbled. He was severely humbled by having a dream just like Nebuchadnezzar and not knowing the interpretation to the dream. There's a powerful parallel between Nebuchadnezzar and Paro regarding the method in which Hashem chose to humble them. And it took 210 years for Paro to return to that humility, to return to that state of humility where he was defeated, by Klal Yisrael in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim with the Ten Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf. It's like a baby. Chazal tell us that a baby in the womb of the mother is taught the entire Torah. And as the baby comes out into this world, the Malach touches his face, touches his nose, whatever this means, and causes the baby to forget everything that it learned. And then the child, this human being, for the rest of its life has to play catch-up, has to work to struggle to restore what it was taught in the womb. And Chazal tell us the only reason why a person is even able to absorb Torah in his lifetime is only because of the impression that the Malach put upon the Neshama when it was in the mother's womb. And the same thing is Paro. Paro, in the very beginning, was taught the lesson of humility. He was taught, who is the Ribbono Shel Olam? Paro had a dream. He did not know the interpretation. He lacked knowledge, the ultimate weapon, the ultimate blessing in this world. He lacked that bracha, which brought about the ultimate humility by coming on to a Jew who says, Bilodai Elokim Ya'ane Esh Shalom Paro. And then what happened? Immediately thereafter, Paro forgot about Hashem, and it's like the Malach came and touched him. And it took 210 years for him to consciously come to the realization, indeed, there is a creator, to witness the Ten Makos, to witness Kriyas Yamsuf. Paro, Chazal say, survived, and he was preserved in order to teach the world that indeed there is a creator. So it started out with a humility. He obviously forgot it instantly. And again, 200 years later is where it was restored. And you learn all of this from these words of the Radak. The Radak over here is bringing out this incredible point. Where do you find such a Radak to bring out this incredible idea of the humbling of Nebuchadnezzar would occur when he would not be able to find an interpretation for his dream? Okay, let's go further. V'chein b'divrei. I don't know if you have the it's probably like about a little bit less than halfway down this long radak in Pasuk Beis. V'chein b'divrei Chananya Mishael v'Azaria. Hoida ki lokel ha'koich v'yecholes. Nebuchadnezzar had no choice but to acknowledge. Now here is a different type of acknowledgement. Here is where Nebuchadnezzar demanded that they bow down to his idol. They refused to do so. They were thrown into the Kivshon Ho'esh, and they miraculously survived. This also was a humbling experience for Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, it's another experience. Another humbling experience. He had arrogance in his palace. A third was where he lost his mind. Nebuchadnezzar was in his palace and suddenly he lost his mind. He became an animal and he went out into the field and he got down on his hands and started imitating animals. This was another form of humility. So sach hakol, according to the Radak, there were three major events in the lifetime of Nebuchadnezzar that severely humbled him before Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Number one, he was unable to understand the interpretation or to know the interpretation of his dream. Number two, Chananya, Mishael, v'Azaria, they were thrown into the furnace and nothing happened to them. They defied Nebuchadnezzar. And number three, Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. All the king's psychologists and psychiatrists with all of the medicine and all of the therapy couldn't restore Nebuchadnezzar to a frame of mind that he could be considered eligible to stand trial as a sane human being. He lost his mind. That's quite a humbling experience. Ugumol ra'asav asher asal Yisrael lo heshev lo li'atzmai. And the punishment. Now here is another principle that Hashem is teaching Chavakuk, that sometimes Hashem does not punish a rasha, but instead punishes his descendants. That's a very challenging principle. Ki kvar nasan hamalucha loy v'levnoy leben binoy. Hashem gave him three generations: him, his son, and his grandson. Who was the son? His son was Evel Meroidach. Who was his grandson? Baal Shetzar. Three generations, exactly 70 years. Baal Shetzar made a party in his palace and he took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. He got dressed in the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. He took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and was drinking in the goblets for himself. Uchsiven, it says, Bei Belelia, in that night, it was Chatzoy Slaila Lel Pesach, Kitil Bel Shatzar Malko Kasta'o. Bal Shetzar, the king of the Kastim, was killed. Again, the Kastim is, the Kastim are the cousins of the Babylonians. And there's a whole interesting topic of discussion that Nebuchadnezzar, he hated his own child. Why? Because he married a Kasti. Nebuchadnezzar was a Babylonian, a Bavli. Yeah, there were two different nations that worked together, the Babylonians and the Kastim. The Babylonians appear to have been the aristocracy, and the Kastim were mercenaries, lowlifes, and they had no dignity in society. They had no status. They had no chashivas in society. For some reason, Nebuchadnezzar, he married a Kasti, and his son, Evel Meroidach, I don't know all the details, was considered to be in society not a Bavli, but a Kasti. And Nebuchadnezzar did not like that. He did not like that he would leave over the Melucha to a member of society. He was a racist. Only the Babylonians are Choshev. The Kastim are lowlifes. And he could not tolerate that his son, Evel Meroidach, would succeed him. But that's how it was. And Evel Meroidach, being that he was a Kasti, his son was also a Kasti. He married against a Kasti. And that's why Baal Shestar, he was also called a Kasta. V'nergu ha-Kastim v'charva bovel aydei koresh v'dor yovesh v'hatzadikim v'hatzadikim ehem shehem Yisrael nitzoylu b'soicham. And what happened on that fateful night, it was Lo Pesach, Koresh, and his son-in-law, Daryovesh Hamodi, came along, and they conquered Baal Shetzar, the Kastim, and they became the new world power. And at that night, Baal Shetzar died. Who survived? Baal Shetzar's daughter, Vashti. Vashti was a little girl. She was in the palace at that time, and she survived. And she ultimately married Achashverosh. Who was Achashverosh? He was the son-in-law of Koresh. He was part of the family. He made the announcement they should return. The Radak writes, those who have knowledge will understand that the laws of Hashem are just. Tzadik Hashem. Ultimately, Hashem settles the score. This that Hashem answered, Alzman Nikmas Rosha, Shayikach Okel Yitzbarach Nik Mosim Menu Mosa Mosayia, and this that Hashem, what did Hashem answer regarding the Zman? When will it happen? When will the Rasha be defeated? Hu beremes, it's not explicit in these psukim. Ela shanavi hevi mitoch hachazon mosayeh b'moyle v'kitzay. The Navi understood the nuance of expression to figure out when it will happen. The Omar lo yakel yisparach kisoyv chazon writes a loymar sheyichtev hachazon hazeh b'sefer beremes kemo shehu oymer. Ki oid chazon lamoed writes a loymar sheloy niskalo hamoed. Do not reveal it. V'omar loy oid uvo'er al haluchos sheyivo'er hechazoin b've'ur al haluchos loy al ha-sefer. L'man yarutz karei boi bavur mi sheyikre boi me'an shidoro sheyoritz boi l'karoi ul'havinoi l'man lo yu nivoichim b'hatzlocha zeharosha. Avul b'sefer yichtivei b'remes. Ki ma sheyikase b'sefer yamod yam rab mevoi hechazoin yivinu an shidoro hu sheyivinu. Nikmas is a Rosha Horom is a safe of Hinamal Yeshayo, a Navi Bo Kosvel Aluach Luach Itam, the Al Sefer Huko Utilioim Acheron. Okay, so he's saying over here, I don't know if you have the words in front of you, but he's saying over here an incredible idea. There are two different records. There is something called a Sefer, and there is something called a Luach. The Sefer is for posterity. The Sefer is the book, Chavakuk. And in the book, it should be written Beremes, exactly the way I say it to you. The message should not be explicit. But in your own personal records, what we are calling the Luach, there I give you permission to elaborate in detail what the remes, what the deeper meaning of these words are, so that in future, so that people, Leman Yaretz, by people will not have to struggle with the Sefer to extract the remes. They'll be able to understand what Hashem is saying, that Nebuchadnezzar will not survive more than 70 years. Eventually, his success will come to an end and will be punished severely for his crimes. But in the Sefer, I want you to preserve the words exactly the way I said it to you, Beremes. Okay, no one said it. According to what we've learned on the other Mefarshim, would appear that Hashem said to Chavakuk that I want you to write out the details in the book itself. The word uvo'er was part of the elaboration. Not necessarily so, but at least the Radak over here is coming to clarify. Hashem said, Vayomer kisoif chozoin. I want you to write the chozoin. He's adding words into the pasuk in the Sefer. And the chozoin is the vision, the date, and the details that you will be able to decipher through the koyach of nevuah. It's only a remes. Write the remes the way it is in the book. But for the people who need to now know the deeper meaning to understand how to relate to the times, that I give you permission, uvo'er, not in the Sefer that will be preserved for posterity, but where? Al haluchos, on the tablets, which is something which is a book. It's not sacred. It's a commentary. The commentary you put on the shelf, and whatever it is. But it's not going to be one of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. It's not going to be canonized into the holy, holy collection of Sefarim that we are going to preserve. Now, Pasuk Gimel,
maybe it's something like your personal journal as opposed to a book intended for the public.
Okay. Well, that obviously the Sefer is intended for posterity, for Klal Yisrael. We have a Mesorah. It was going to be 24 books, 24 Sifrei Kodesh. In the 24 Sifrei Kodesh that will be preserved for Klal Yisrael, there indeed it should be written Chozoin. Just the remes, but in the books that are not sacred, there you're saying your personal journal, there in the Hanami, there I'm giving you permission to elaborate. That's a chiddush. That's a very big chiddush, because we have a tradition of dvarim shebichsav iator rishai leomroi bepeh. Torah shebal peh is not allowed, according to the letter of the law, to be put in print. The Talmud Bavli is a violation of strict halacha. Mishnayos is a violation of strict halacha. It was meant to be memorized. It was meant to be passed down orally from one generation to the next generation. Who gave Rabbeinu HaKadosh permission to take the words of the Mishnayos, the basic laws of halacha, and to put them in writing and to preserve them, and then for the Amoraim, to go and to elaborate with the Talmud Bavli, and then the Rishonim. So Chazal say, Eis lasois la Hashem heferu Torah secha. There are times in this world of Eis lasois, when you have to break the rules. It's an extremely dangerous principle. What this means to break the rules. When you are allowed to break the rules, when you're not allowed to break the rules. Look at conservative Judaism. They broke the rules. They said, since we live, everyone, old many Jews, they live in the suburbs, and it wasn't possible to walk to Shul on Shabbos, so they broke the rules. Eis lasos. First they said, you can have a guy drive you to Shul on Shabbos, and then they said, you yourself can drive on Shabbos. They broke the rules. Eis lasos. And what happened to them? Rachmana litzlan, they don't exist anymore. Many of their children, they disappear from the face of the earth. Not even, many of them not Jewish. Their children intermarried. They don't even know they're Jewish. Why? Because they abused the principle of Eis Lasos LaHashem. Chazal took the principle Eis Lasos LaHashem. It is categorically forbidden to put in writing words that are of Torah, She, Baal Peh. To write down the Mishnah and the Gemara, this is forbidden. So how then are we? Eis Lasos. Excuse me. You can say Eis Lasos for anything. You can say right now is saying Eis Lasos. There are no minyanim, all the halachas. You know, everything goes out the window, right? Tevilas Kalim. Someone called me up yesterday. He has new Kalim and he has to eat. What is he supposed to do? He needs to be telling them in the mikvah. So I didn't tell him any chiyah. I says the Rabbanim told everyone, he'd be mafkir the Kalim. If you don't have a choice, either sell it to a guy and rent it back from him, which is not always practical. You have to know how to do that. Or be mafkir in front of three people. What? Be mafkir in front of three people? This. Listen, what else are you going to do now? Eis lasos LaHashem. That's the situation. It's a very dangerous game. It's a very, very dangerous game. But Chazal, they did it. We can't do it. They did it. Look what's going on here. Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu, is Chavakuk, what am I saying? Telling Chavakuk to write down the oral tradition of the deeper meaning of the words of the Nevi'im. Isn't that in the category of Torah Shebal Peh? Hashem says to Chavakuk very specific words, at least according to the Radak, very specific words. And these words are cryptic. They're not clear. It can be interpreted many, many ways. Just like every pasuk in the Chumash can be interpreted no matter. You can take the pasuk and you can play with it. However, we have Torah She Baal Peh, which teaches us the true and correct interpretation. And that tradition as to clarify the meaning of Torah Shebichsav is off limits. You're not allowed to put this in writing. It has to be preserved and passed on orally. And look what is happening over here. According to the Radak, Hashem is telling Chavakuk, here is a prophecy. Here are words. In these words lie the Geula from Golos Nebuchadnezzar, of Golos Bavel. And as the Mefarshim explain, and if you dig deeper, you'll find in these words all of the secrets to the Geula of Mashiach, of Yemos HaMashiach. And you can't write this in the book. In the book, it's only going to be written the Remes. But I'm giving you permission to put in writing the deeper interpretation. Isn't that Torah Shebaal Peh being put in writing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is giving him the heter to do so? That's what it appears to be. It's an incredible chiddush. And the reason why this resonates with me is because someone yesterday told me very big chiddush. And here's what I'm getting at. We all know that on Rosh Chodesh, a person is not allowed to fast. Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Tif. You're not allowed to fast. Let's go further. On Yom Tif, let's say a person, a tzaddik or a chacham dies on Yom Tif, are you allowed to deliver hespedim on Chol HaMoed? Are you allowed to deliver hespedim Chodesh Nisan? No! It's aser. For a regular person, it's aser. Yet, there's a halacha. Chacham bifanav mutar. On Yom Tif, in times of Simcha, there are exceptions. A chacham bifana v'zmut. Oh, excuse me, where does that come from? What are you talking about? Where do you get that from? Who made a dispensation for a chacham bifanav? What, eitz lasos? Oh, we need it. It's a special time. So Rav Simcha Soloveitchik, I was speaking to him yesterday, and he told me the makar that chacham bifanav is mutter is Nadav Aviu. No, there was no greater yomtiv for Klal Yisrael than Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the day when the Ribbono Shelom, he brought down his Shechina to this world, to permanently reside in this world in the Beis HaMikdash. There was no greater yom tov for Klal Yisrael than Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And what happened on this day? A tragedy occurred. Nadav Aviu passed away. And what does the Pasuk say? What does the Ribbono Shel Olam say? The whole Beis Yisrael, I'm not sure I'm saying the right words, the whole Bnei Yisrael, Yivku es hasreifa asher saraf Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave permission, explicit permission, that the whole Beis Yisrael, Yivku es hasreifa asher saraf Hashem. You, Elazar v'Isamar, do the avoda. You continue. Everyone else will cry today, and not just today, in the future. What do you mean? It's a yomtiv today. So Hashem is saying, Chacham bifanav mutter. Nadav Aviu is certainly in the category of Chacham. And Hashem explicitly said, V'chol Beis Yisrael Yivku es Hasreifa. So Simcha Soloveitchik, he told me the name of someone. This is the makar for Chazal to allow Hespedim during times of Simcha for a Chacham bifanav. If not for this pasuk, there would indeed be no exception. That's right. Chazal can on their own go ahead and say Eis Lasos. Eis Lasos is a very dangerous, it's an extremely dangerous game. You don't just do Eis Lasos. Chazal need to find a makar for Eis Lasos. I want to suggest to you, I just want to point out the obvious, that according to the Radak, this is an explicit example of Eis Lasos regarding the equivalent of Torah Shebal Peh. The Radak could not be more clear. There are two books. There is the Sefer that will be preserved for posterity, the Sefer Tanakh, as it's going to say in Pasuk Gimel, Ki Oid Chazoin Lamoyed. There's a Chazoin, there's a set time when Nebuchadnezzar will cease to exist. There's a set time when the Golus of Edom will cease to exist. And that's it. Just write those words. If you're a Makubal and you're a very holy person, you'll be able to look into those words. I don't know how they do these things. And you'll be able to make calculations and gematrias and who knows what. And you'll be able to see a whole world way beyond anything that we're familiar with. But Chavakuk was on that level. And Hashem said, okay, Chavakuk, you know what it really means. You know the Messiah. You know the depth, the true depth of what this means. I'm giving you explicit permission to take the oral understanding of these words and to put it in writing. Where? In good writing. Uvo'er al haluchos. So you see, there is such a thing where Hashem makes exceptions. So even though we have a principle in halacha called al pi hadvarim o'ele, which we chazal darshin, that dvarim shebal peh must remain Dvarim Shebal Peh. And you're not allowed to put them in writing. Really? What about Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who wrote the Mishnayos? What about Ravina Rav Ashi, who wrote the Gemara? And what about everyone who came after them? What's going on? Oh, Eis Lasos. Excuse me, Eis Lasos? Where do you get permission? Whoever told you Eis Lasos? The answer has to be, Chazal had to have found a makor in order to allow them the liberty of using Eis Lasis. And I gave you an example with Chocham Bifanov. This is a makor. There's an exception. The whole base Yisrael Yifkuei Sasreif Asher Saraf Hashem. That's the makor why Chocham Bifanov is mutter. Here is also at least a tinge, at least according to Radak. I mean, there's something over here. You can't ignore this. You can't ignore this. You see over here, there's the Sefer, and then there is the Aperish on the Sefer, which is being written somewhere else. It's being put down in writing. It's not just going to be preserved midar ledar. Okay, let's go continue on the Radak. The Radak Pasuk Gimel. Ki oid chazon lamoyed zehu hamane she'anu ha'kel yisparach ha'chazon hazeh lo yeh me'ata elo oid yeh lamoyed asher yedat yeh asher yeh additive. Yeh additive means designation. It's not going to happen today. The moed will happen in the few od. The word od, according to the Radak, has a connotation not today. Down the road, time. Masha yaseh hazman lo yaseh haseichel. Od. It's a very powerful word. V'yofeach laketz. V'hechazon hazeh yidaber laketz. Now he learns very beautifully the Radak. Radak is a master in words. And he says that the vision speaks for itself. He is explaining that the subject of the word Yofeach is not Chavakuk. We learn until now that Chavakuk, you're going to be the talker. You're going to be the medaber. You're going to give a sermon. You're going to go on live. We're going to put you on Torah anytime, and you're going to give a drasha. No, no, no. The subject is not you, the man. The one that is speaking is the vision, the words itself speak. V'yafech laketz v'hechozoin hazeh. Those people who read the words in the pasuk, they will hear the words speaking to them. The words of the prophecy speak. It speaks to you. Why do we read the Haftorah on Shabbos? It's not only because once upon a time there was a Gezeris Hashmad that we're not permitted to lane on Shabbos, and in order that we should not forget, there's something called Kriyas HaTorah. Chazal instituted that we should read from the Haftar, from the Nevi'im, 21 Psukim, 3 Psukim corresponding to each Aliyah. That's one reason why we read from the Haftarah. But all the Mefarshim, they tell us Chazal had other Kavanos why we read from the Haftarah. Because the Haftarah is a message for us. The words of the Haftarah they speak for themselves. It's a real shame that we don't spend time deciphering the words of the Haftarah as it relates to current events. Chazal say hafoich ba hafoich ba dekulaba in the parsha. There is hinted a message, a teaching for current events. But the Haftorah is even more. You know, you can ask the obvious question, what's the difference? If there is a principle of Hafeich Bafeich with the Kulub on the Parsha, so what would the Haftorah come to add that we can't already extract by searching deeper in the Haftorah? I don't know. I don't know a good answer. But obviously, it's two different types of speeches. You know, you go to a shul. Not, you know, there are different types of rabbanim. Some rabbanim, you know, there's the rabbi of the hashkama minyan, and there's the rabbi of the main minyan. Each one has a different message. There are different messages that come out of the parsha. There are messages that come out of the parsha, and there are also messages that are being said to us in the words of the Nevi'im. Maybe the words of the Nevi'im are more watered down. They're more, the words of the Torah are very holy. They come right directly from Hashem. And I'm just saying words. And sometimes it's a bit more difficult to decipher. The words of the Nevi'im I always find that the messages in the words of the Haftarah, if you would be willing to have the guts to actually apply them to current events, are much more explicit and open than the parasha. The parasha, it's all there. There's no doubt. We have emunah, it's hafoich ba hafoich v'dekulba, and sometimes we can see it openly. But it's much easier, more often than not, to see Hashem speaking to us and to the individual every single week through the Haftarah, the words of the Navi. It's there, it's just there, the words, you read the words, sometimes it's just so obvious what Hashem is trying to tell us relating to current events. And this is what the Radak writes, the Yofeach Laketz, the words of this prophecy speak for themselves. Anyone that in future generations will read these words, it will be as if these words are speaking directly to him. V'yafeach laketz, v'chazoyin hazeh yidabu laketz, k'lem alo yidabu lezman hazeh, elo yoysa adketz, ha'asal yoys v'hu l'shivim shana, mecharvois Yerushalayim. It's referring to the gula 70 years from now when Nebuchadnezzar will fall. V'lo yichazev, k'moy asher lo yichazvu meimov, the waters do not lie. Ki al kol panim yihye, it will happen. I always like to mention that every time you have the word yichazev, the targum, this pasuk that he quoted is a very good pasuk, because every married man knows this pasuk from his kisuva. What does it say in the kisuva? Vano eflach. The oikir, the ezoin, the afarnes, yisechi lechi, the kushta. In the ksuba, it says a man obligates himself to give honor, to support oikir, the ezoin, the afarnes, yisechi lechi, the kushta. You obligate yourself to provide your wife with honor, with food, with shelter, and all of the basic necessities with truth. So the question is, what does that mean, truth? What, with falsehood? What does that mean, with emes? Can someone explain why in the world is that word inserted into the kesuba after in part of your obligation to provide your wife with these items? And the answer is, bekushta doesn't mean truth. It means continuously. How do you know it means continuously? From this pasuk that the Radak just quoted, v'lo yichazev, it will not lie. Okay? It will not lie. Here it says, asher lo, and he quotes, asher lo yichazvu meimav. He quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya describing a river whose waters do not lie. What does it mean, the waters do not lie? The waters of the river flow continuously. Some rivers only flow in the spring, but at the end of the summer, there's no more water left. These rivers are liars. A river that flows continuously is a river that's lo yichazev. Here the Targum, now there in that pasuk, I believe the Targum there is bekushta. The Targum there indeed writes that like rivers that flow with truth. You have to look up that pasuk, the words of the Targum there. The Targum Yoinason there bekushta. And likewise, that's why in the Ksuba, when a man commits himself to support his wife, he says vano oiker ve'ezon va'farnes yisechi lechi bekushta, meaning continuously. A man does not have the right to say to his wife, listen, I supported you for 10 years. Give me a break. Please, give me a break. After quarantine with you for 2 months, I'm going out of my mind. I'm going on vacation. I'm out of here. I'm going away somewhere to another planet where they don't know what corona is. And you? I don't know. Who's going to pay the bills?
You're on your own for 2 months. Figure it out. I supported you for 10 years. Give me a break. I need a little break. In the Ksuba, a man says to his wife, I will honor you. I will support you. Bekushta, no breaks. Continuously, forever. I will not take off even one day from my obligation to give you honor and support. Is that a scary thing to do? To get married? To make that commitment? If you'd give a man a choice, he would say, maybe for 30 days. A whole lifetime? The kushta? But that's exactly what it says. That's what it means, v'lo yichazev. It's something. Now, in this context, it means it's not. It's a little bit different. Now, here it means you have to. The passage that he quoted in Yeshaya is concerning a river, and that's the passage that the Mefarshim would like to connect to the Ksuba. Here, the Targum translates v'lo yibotel. That this, it's a little different. In this context, it means that this prophecy will come true, guaranteed. Nebuchadnezzar will suffer defeat. Okay, im yisma im. Now we continue the radak. Im yisma ma. Let's finish the radak. Im yisma ma. Im yisma ma. Chakeloi. If it delays, if you see that there is a delay in the coming of this prophecy, yearn. Im yacher haketz azeh chakeloi omar kineged oisam shagalu mirushalayim beherichu yamim ad sheyotzu migolus bavel. Those who went into Golus early, lo yacher perish lo yacher meha meimoy rakotzuv lo ki al kolponim yiyeh biyoyim. It's going to happen. V'chein tigim yonison arei bezimnei yesei. In the right time, it will come lo yisakav. V'adoni avizal perish ki lo yacher kimo lo yosuf. Kuloimar lo yosuf shelo yiyeh ki perish lo yosuf mizaram v'acharis. Perish soif. It will not perish. Okay, lo yacher, he translates to mean not delay, but it means yosuf, it will not perish. What? No, it doesn't mean that, right, the Nevuah will not come to an end. But what do you mean end? The translation of end doesn't really settle, doesn't fit well. It means it will not be annulled. It's a similar idea. According to the first interpretation, Yacher means delayed. It will not be delayed. According to the Targum, it means it will not be canceled. It's different. Okay, Lo Yosuf means it will not end. What do you mean not end? It will not be canceled. It will happen. According to the first interpretation, it's a given that it's going to happen. That's not even the issue. The question is, will it be pushed off? Will we push down the street? Push the can down the street. Later. The next administration will solve your problems. I just have to get by. So the first interpretation is to delay. And the second is, it will not be canceled. Okay, now, what I want to say, I forgot, I wanted to say something. I don't remember what I wanted to say. Okay, we will stop here, and then Yiratz Hashem, tomorrow we will resume. So maybe what I should do is I should make a photocopy of the Gra and of the Chida and the Mamori Chazal, and I can put it on the screen. I can share it with you on the screen, so you can read along with me as we learn. Okay, we have to try a new feature with this device. Okay, we will stop now, take a short break. We're going to learn. I want to go over some of the basic laws of Sefiras HaOmer, a review of the basic Yisoides, the laws, the practical halachos of counting Sefira, and then we'll talk about Mikvah. All right, I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
You know the bracha, Birchas HaLonis, there's one down my block. What's the bracha, you know?
Asher, it's in the Siddur. You have an article Siddur?
I have one, but But it doesn't say.
After Shacharis, it says, and Shacharis, go to Shacharis. Shacharis.
What was the question?
The bracha of a Birkas Ilonis. It's in the Sidur.
It's in the Siddur.
Yeah, but I'm looking for
okay,
it.
Okay, let me find it for you. Let me find it for you.
I even have an Oscar English, and I'm looking.
Okay, one moment.
I don't know. I used to sit it to make the broccoli this year.
One moment.
After benching.
Okay, Birchas Hanen, 97. Okay, it's on page 99. If you have the art scroll Ashkenaz Sidur, Yitzchak Yoir, on page 99, it's the second bracha.
And it's on the in the Sfarz Sidur, page 107.
In the Birchois
Choyda. It's in the Birchois Choyda.
107. In the
Go down in the Birchois Choyda. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Over here in my sitter is the 8th blessing in the Birchois Choyda.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Horoye Ilonoi Shel. Okay, you got it? Okay. Yes. Yes.
You know, yesterday you discussed variations on the bracha of Sfiras HaOmer. But there's another kind of variation I just wanted to point out to you. The bracha that we make, the variation is with the placement of the word LaOmer or BaOmer. In the bracha that we make, we say LaOmer or BaOmer at the very end. Right?
Yes, correct.
Now, I saw an exhibit from the Smithsonian. They have a very big chart, you know, that they used to make up in the shuls, you know, and over there, they put the word La'omer after saying the day for that day. You know, say today is day 21, La'omer.
And then they say the week.
To the month and the day. And I have a little safer. It's a Ksav Yad from 1788, where, you know, in those days they used to make a separate sefer to count the sphere. Sometimes it had Myron in it. And there they make the word La'omer at the first word. For example, they say, Hayom La'omer Hamisha Asar Yom. So it's very interesting where you put the
law, three different possibilities. Well, the truth is, there's a fourth possibility, and that is to omit the word La'omer or Ba'omer entirely. The Mechaber does not mention the word Ba'omer at all. The Mechaber omits the word Ba'omer entirely. The Ramah injects the word Ba'omer. And the Mishnah Berurah says the minig is to say La Omer. So it would appear that you're correct. According to the Mechaber, the word should not be said at all. And this that the Ramah, he adds in Ba'omer. Now the place where he puts it is at the end. But if you're going to add it, who says you should add it at the end? Maybe he means to add it in the beginning or add it in the middle. So you're saying very good. There are really four possibilities with regard to the word Ba'omer. Either nothing, or the beginning, or the very end, or after the days. Okay, that's a very interesting point.
The only raya you'd have to say is nobody.